Girls, I appreciate that song too. It really goes along with what we're going to look at tonight. And I'm so glad you're here. I did pray for you. One of the kids asked tonight, they said, Brother Ben, did you go up in the desert today? No, I didn't. But I still prayed for you a lot. And I've been praying again that God would speak to your hearts. And each night as God is able to speak to you through the Word of God, each night He builds and He builds. And God can speak to you each night. And as He does that, sometimes we respond right away, but sometimes we listen for a little bit, and we listen for a little bit. And the Bible says that His word is like a hammer, and it hits like a rock. And the rock, when that hammer hits over and over and over, it cracks from within. And maybe tonight just might be the night that you trust Jesus as your Savior. Tonight might be the time that you make a decision to follow Him. Maybe each night as the Word of God has gone forward and the Holy Spirit has worked, He's been working on your heart. And each night you might know this is true, this is true, this is true, and tonight just might be the night that the Lord works on you. So I've been praying about that today. Tonight's the third night of VBS. We're going to campsite number 3, Under the Stars. Now last night we were along the trail and we learned that Jesus Christ is the sinner's Savior. We saw 2 different people that were outcasts. We looked at the woman at the well and we looked at Zacchaeus. Tonight we're going to skip way ahead. If you go all the way back to the first night, we saw where Jesus called Simon to follow Him. That was like 3.5 years ago by the point that we are here now. So Simon's been following Jesus for about 3.5 years. And tonight, Jesus is going to take His disciples up into a garden that He's been to many times with His disciples, but something tragic's going to happen. And I know that some of you have, or maybe all of you have heard the story tonight, and you learned about Peter failing. Well, we're going to look at Peter failing, but we're going to focus in here tonight on what Jesus did despite Peter failing. So let's go ahead tonight as we look at this, and we're going to read the scriptures. The Bible says, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them." Now listen, this is a totally different kind of message. "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men be offended because of thee, yet will I will never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Over 12,000 angels could show up if I called them right now. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this night. Father, I sense a restlessness with the kids tonight, maybe the little ones. And Lord, I pray that Satan would be held back. I pray, Father, that you'd just calm everyone's spirit. Pray for our adults tonight. Pray for the teenagers tonight, the children. I pray for myself. Lord God, I pray the Holy Spirit would work tonight. I pray his power would go forth. I pray people would be saved and people would get their hearts right with him if that's what needs to happen. And we pray this all, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's been about 3 years. Simon's been going with Jesus. He's been following him as well as the other disciples. They've seen the miracles. In fact, I don't know if you know this or not, they've seen everything from the healing of fevers, which back then was pretty big, all the way to the raising of the dead. There was a man named Lazarus who had died, and he was dead for 3 days. It was a hot area. It was desert area. He had been dead and wrapped up. He was in a cave, basically. And Jesus came along. Boys, listen right here. And Jesus came along, and as Jesus came in, he said, open the tomb. People said, we can't. He stinks by now. We can't do it. He says, open it. So they open the tomb, and Jesus cries, Lazarus! Come forth. There was no mistaking from the smell that came out of there. That man was dead. And when Jesus cried that out, Lazarus stood up, came out of the cave, and everybody saw it happen. Boys and girls, they saw Jesus heal people. They saw him raise people from the dead. They saw Jesus do incredible miracles. And Simon's been with them, or Peter's been with them, and all the disciples. And for 3 years, they've walked with him, and they've watched this, and they've even done miracles themselves. The Bible said Jesus gave power to his own disciples to pull demons out of people. There were times that even the disciples couldn't do that. They would try, and the demons were too strong. They were too powerful, and his disciples couldn't do it. And they would turn to Jesus, and they'd say, we tried, and we couldn't get him to come out. And Jesus says, come out of him. And they come out like that. And the disciples would say, why can't we do that? He says, this kind cometh out but by prayer and fasting. And he says, there's one more thing. There's a bigger step there. But Jesus is the Son of God. They'd seen demons come out of people. And as they would come out of people, they'd see the people fall on the ground. And the demons would cry out and say, you're the Son of God. They saw that. Some of the disciples saw the Holy Spirit of God come down. The Bible says bodily. That means physically. They actually saw the Holy Spirit like a dove come down and land on Jesus after he was baptized. Some of them saw it, not all of them. Different things happened. But for 3 years, they've been following him. And Jesus has made his way to Jerusalem. And tonight, 3 years later, he's very close to being nailed to a cross for our sins. This night is different. It's a starry night. It's a dark night. The disciples are very quiet. It's very solemn. They're eating dinner. They finish dinner and they sing a song. Jesus has said some things that confuse them. They don't understand. They're spiritually blind. And now, boys and girls, he's led them out of the house. And they've gone up to a place they've gone to many times with Jesus. And that's the Garden of Gethsemane. And they go up in there. And as Jesus walks, he's talking with them. And the Bible says that he leaves some of his disciples there at kind of the front area of the garden. And he takes Peter and James and John, the sons of thunder. He takes them with him. And they go a little further. And he says, wait here. Watch and pray. He says, I just need you to stay here for a little while. Stay awake. Keep your eyes open. Some things are going to happen tonight. And pray. Pray for me. Jesus needed his disciples at that moment. And the Bible says that Jesus goes a little bit further, and he goes off and he prays by himself. And he begins to just become very heavy and sorrowful. He's overwhelmed, boys and girls. He knows, and young people, teenagers, he knows that he's about to die. Can you imagine what that would be like to know that you are about to, your life is over, it's all done? But it's not just that he's going to go to sleep and it's all over. It's that he's going to have his hands stretched out on a wooden, rugged cross with splinters on it. He's going to be made naked. Now, all of us are clothed tonight. Nobody would walk through here naked. They're going to take everything off of him. If you've ever seen a picture of Jesus, of what they say is Jesus, he's always got a towel wrapped around him. Not in real life. They took all of his clothes off of him. And he knew that was going to happen. They were going to embarrass him. They knew that he was going to stretch him out on a cross and put nails through his hands, and they were going to put his feet one over top the other and put nails through his feet. He knew that his beard would be ripped out. The Bible says that when they would be done with Jesus, his visage would be marred beyond recognition. That means his face, and I mean no disrespect to the Lord Jesus Christ, his face would look like hamburger meat when they were done with him. They would destroy his body. They would whip him across his back. They would beat him with canes. They would blindfold him and spit on his face. They would punch him in the head, and they would ask him, "If you're really the Son of God, who hits you?" And they would mock him, and they would make fun of him. And then after whipping him, and then after beating him, and then tearing his body apart, they would take a robe and wrap it around him. Later on, they'd rip that robe back off. Be like taking scabs all over your body and peeling them off. Bible says they would take a crown of thorns, not little things. Maybe like your saguaro cactuses that you have. When I went hiking the other day, I found some with needles that long on them. And the Bible says that they plaited a crown of thorns. They couldn't even touch it. And they would lay it on his head, and they would take reeds and they would press it down, and it would pierce into his head. Now, this hasn't happened yet, but Jesus knew it was coming. And because he knew it was coming, he says, "Boys, men, guys, I need you to pray for me." Because the Bible says that he's in the flesh. He's all of God, 100% in the body. He says, "I just need you to pray for me a little bit." And he goes out, and he goes in the garden, and he falls down before God. He says, "God, Father, if there's any other way," because he knows it's going to be bad, "if there's any other way," what is he saying? "If there's any other way to save people, if there's any other way to forgive them of all of their sins, anything besides what I have to do, let this cup pass from me." He says, "Let it go that way." And then he gets up and he comes back, and his disciples are asleep. He looks at them, and he knew all things. But you know what's interesting about Jesus? Even though he knew all things, when Lazarus died, the Bible says Jesus looked around and he saw all the people crying. He knew that was coming. And then one of the most famous verses of all the Bible, Jesus wept. And Jesus knew that his disciples would fail him this night. He knew they would sleep. But he comes over and he sees them in his language, his words. He says, "What? Could you not watch 1 hour? You couldn't even stay awake? We've been together for 3 years, 3.5 years, and you've seen this. I've asked you to do one thing. You couldn't even do the one. You failed me." He's not hateful. He's not mean. I think he's broken. His heart aches. He's just so disappointed. And he wakes them up and he tells them, he says, "Look," he says, "I know you're willing. The flesh is weak. You're sleepy. I know that. And I know you want to do what's right, but you messed up. Stay awake. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." And the disciples, it doesn't tell us what they say, but I can imagine them. They're rubbing their eyes and they're sleepy. I'm so sorry. And they're nudging each other. "Why didn't you keep me awake? Why didn't you say something? How did you let me fall asleep like that?" And I could see them arguing maybe back and forth, really feeling bad. They see Jesus, he comes back, I don't know, even in the moonlight, maybe his face is red. He's wet with sweat. And not because it's hot, but because he's so heavy with sorrow, with sadness. He goes back out, he prays again. This time he prays, "Father, if this cup won't pass from me, if there is no other way, then thy will be done." He says, it's about your plan. It's not about me. And the Bible says he comes back and they're asleep again. And he looks at his disciples and he says, "Sleep on now." Or he doesn't say anything at that moment. He goes back and he prays one more time and prays the same thing again. He says, "Father, thy will be done." Why does he keep praying? I think he was probably facing temptation. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted like all of us, yet he was without sin. By the way, boys and girls and teenagers, young people, that's why he and he alone is the sinner's Savior, because he was tempted like we are. That means that there were things he in his body he might have felt like he wanted to do, but he never gave in to sin. He never said okay to sin. He always, always served God and kept God's laws. We haven't done that. We've all failed Jesus at some point in our lives. And so he goes back again. He prays one more time and says, Father, if it won't pass from me, thy will be done. And he comes back, and this time he wakes his disciples. He says, wake up, wake up. He says, get up, come with me. The hour's at hand. And they get up, and he says, behold, the Son of Man's been betrayed into the hands of sinners. And the Bible says then that Jesus goes a little bit, just a few steps, and his disciples go with him. And then all of a sudden, another disciple shows up. It's Judas. And Judas comes walking up, and Judas spent, by the way, Judas spent 3.5 years with Jesus. He was right there with Peter. He was right there with James. He was right there with John and Andrew. He was with all of them. He saw the miracles. He knew who Jesus was. And the Bible says that he failed him greatly. And what he did was he went and he accepted money from Jesus' enemies who wanted to kill Jesus. And he leads them right to him. And it gets worse. He goes and he tells those enemies of Jesus, he says, here's how you'll know who he is. Because the Bible says he didn't look any different than anybody else. They said, here's how I'll mark him. I'll kiss him. He goes up, no, it's nothing weird. But back then, they'd come up, and you might even see people in other countries, and they'll kiss each other on both cheeks. It's just a sign of affection. He goes up to Jesus. Jesus says hello to him, and Judas goes, Master. And they go, that's him, get him. And they come up to him. The Bible says that as they come up to him here, his disciples have all gotten up. They're all around, and they don't know what's about to happen. And as these men have come, they're coming to take Jesus, and they want to take him to an unfair trial. And the Bible says that they're up now, and they're looking around, and Judas has come, and Jesus has called Judas friend. And then the Bible says they come around, they go to grab Jesus, and Peter grabs a sword. And he starts swinging the sword. Now, Peter wasn't a swordsman. He was a fisherman. But he starts swinging it and starting trying to fight. And he swings one time, and he misses, and he swings again, and he hits a guy in the ear. Takes it right off. Falls down on the ground. And Jesus says to Peter, put up your sword. That means Peter failed again. Peter did something that Jesus wouldn't have wanted. And Jesus reaches down, and he takes the ear and puts it right back on the man. The Bible says that it looks just as if there was never anything wrong with it. He just put it right back on, totally healed the man. And the man's sitting there, and he's still going to arrest Jesus. And the Bible says then that as the men surround Jesus to take him away in another place, Jesus has asked him to let his men go free. But he looks at Peter, he says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels, boys and girls? Here's what he says. Jesus says, Peter, you don't need the sword. He says, right now, I could call out to God and I could say, Father, I need help. And 12,000 angels would show up and would kill them all and would rescue me and it would all be over. He says, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, he says, are you come out with swords and staves to take me? He says, you didn't take me before. And the Bible says, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, John, and all of the others, all of the disciples forsook him and fled. They turned their backs and they ran away. One final failure here this night. And Jesus looks as they're taken away. And you know the Bible, if we back up for just a minute, there's something I want to focus on tonight that Jesus said that's very interesting. He says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? He says, Peter, I see the failings of man. I see what they're about to do. I see the sin. I see that they're going to kill me. I see it all. I knew you would fail me tonight. Didn't I tell you? I'm putting words here in Jesus' mouth, basically. But it's as if he says, didn't I tell you you would fail me? Didn't I know that you would fall asleep? Didn't I tell you that everybody's going to run away? He says, I could end it all right now. But boys and girls, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me just talk about that for a minute tonight, boys and girls. God loves you so much that the Bible says that when God created the world, even before that, He knew what would happen. Before God made planet Earth, before He made the universe, before He made the stars and the skies and the sun and everything else that God made, God could look at everything all at one time. He knew the past, He knew the present, He knew the future. He knew everything. We don't understand that because that's not how we think. But He knew that you would sin. And He knew that Angel would sin. And He knew that Brother Ben would sin. And He knew that each one of you would sin. He knew that. The Bible says that Jesus knew that Peter would fail Him. He knew Andrew would fail Him. He knew all of us would fail Him. When the Bible says that the Word of God was in eternity past, it means it was written in heaven before the creations of the world. And listen, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. God knew before you were born that you would be a sinner. And that night, when Jesus led His disciples up into the Garden of Gethsemane, He knew they would fail Him. And He knew they'd fail Him again. And He knew they'd fail Him again. And He knew they'd fail Him again. And you know, when somebody hurts us, when somebody fails us, maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody who's broken a promise. Anybody ever had a friend tell you they would do something, they didn't do it? It hurts, doesn't it? You ever watched a kindergartner playing with a toy, and another kindergartner comes up and snatches it away, and the kindergartner they took it from might scratch them or bite them or yell at them or scream at them or walk away or cry. They have a reaction like that. A teenager might get on Snapchat, and they might snap a couple things mean and nasty about their friend. They might put on a video. They might link them all together and they do all this stuff, and their friends that thought they were friends, look at that. I'm never talking to them again. I'm done with them. Forget them. Boys and girls, that's people. When we fail each other, we don't forgive a lot of times. The natural man, the natural part of us says, you did something wrong against me. I hate you. I'm upset with you. I don't like you. Jesus knew that we would totally destroy God's law. We would break every law of God that there was. Jesus knew that night that His disciples would fail Him. Why didn't He stop it before it happened? Why didn't He go in there and call down the angels? Because Jesus could only do, or only wanted to do, what God the Father had planned. And the Bible says that God the Father is not willing. That means He does not want any to perish. Are you a person? Yeah. Are you a person? Yep. Are you a person? Yeah. We're all people, right? It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter if you live in the ghetto or in the country. It doesn't matter if you're from the trailer park or from the mansions. It does not matter. God is not willing that any, not one of you, not this little guy right here, not any of you back there. God is not willing that any should perish. And that night, Peter was not willing that any of his should perish. Jesus was not willing that any of His disciples should perish. Listen, He looked beyond, He looked past their faults. Now listen, let me tell you something real quick. It is not okay that they failed Him. It's not. It is not okay to tell a lie. It is not okay to cheat on homework for school. It is not okay to say a bad word. It is not okay to roll your eyes at your parents or say no to your parents or be mean and nasty. It is not okay to cuss. It is not okay to break God's law. The Bible says that God looks at that and it makes Him angry. We're enemies of God. We're at enmity with Him. We're at war with God. And I look at some of you kids and I think, man, what a sweet little girl in this beautiful little dress. How could she be an enemy of God? But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all His enemies. And you know what? Jesus never says it's okay that we sinned. And he never says it's okay that you failed. He never said that night it was okay they failed. In fact, later on, he's going to deal with it. But you know what he did? He looked past it at what was coming. And he saw the cross. And he knew, I have to let this happen. The scriptures have to be fulfilled. I've got to take the punishment of man's sin. I've got to become sin for the people. And it was all part of God's plan. And what's happening is it's building, and it's building, and it's building where Jesus is going to be all alone. He's going to be alone in a trial that never should have happened. He's going to be alone on the cross. He's going to be alone in death. And then he alone will rise again to pay for our sins. Tonight, boys and girls, I'm looking at you, and Jesus Christ sees every one of you as an individual human being that he died for. And when he went to the cross, I might not know your name, but he knew it. He knew you'd be here tonight in this Vacation Bible School. He knew that this would be the message that would be preached. The Holy Spirit of God is well aware. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you've been through. And even the little ones, they might not have been through what you teenagers have been through. But the Bible says that we are all sinners and we all do things. We've all failed God and we all need his forgiveness. And he went to that cross so that you could hear this message tonight and you could believe on him for salvation. Three nights, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. You've heard different messages with the same meaning. Jesus Christ came to earth, lived a perfect life, and never sinned. And he did that because his Father, God, looks at sin and hates it and has to deal with it. And you and I can't. So Jesus came, was nailed to a cross, and then the blood that came out of his body, he paid for our sins. But there's one more thing. Jesus has paid for everyone's sins, but you have to personally, as a single individual, accept it. You're not forgiven just because he died on the cross. You must turn to Jesus. You must realize that you are a sinner. The woman at the well last night, she said, I don't ever want to come back to this well. It reminds me of what I am, a sinner. Zacchaeus, when he said to Jesus, behold, if I've taken from any man, I'll restore him fourfold. He says, I'll fix anything I've done wrong if you'll just forgive me. Both people, Jesus dealt with their sin. Jesus always deals with sin. And tonight, if you know that you're a sinner, you know that you've offended God. Listen, it's not that you hurt me. Somebody could go, psh, Brother Ben, and walk away from me tonight. And you might hurt my feelings, but it's not about me. It's not even about the fact that you might have hurt mom or dad or a friend or the preacher. It may be that you said, I'm never going back to church again. It's not any of that. It's that our sin has hurt God. It's offended him. And the only way to make it right is to accept, to believe in your heart that Jesus paid for your sin. And then to say, Lord, I accept your forgiveness. I need it. I can't save myself. And I need to be forgiven of my sin. Boys and girls, tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. But let me give you one last thought before we do. Maybe you've been saved. And maybe there's things in your life where you realize I've failed Jesus. I've talked bad about people in this church, or I've gossiped, I've talked bad about my friends, or I've disrespected my teachers, or I've been mean to my parents and dishonored my parents, and I'm a liar, I'm a thief, I steal from people's backpacks at school. I've done all kinds of things, and I'm a Christian, I know I got saved, but what do I do? Jesus didn't just die so that we could be forgiven and go to heaven, and then he just never deals with anything else. No, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, this is for believers, this is for saved people, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're saved already and you've been failing, it's just like when you deal with your parents. Mom, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Dad, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And they bring you back in, they say, We're right, son. We're right, daughter. We're right. It's okay now. I forgive you. And that's for believers. But listen, before that can happen, before 1 John can ever take place in a person's life, you must be saved. You must be forgiven of all sin, all your sin. I'm going to ask some of our workers tonight to move towards the back and just be prepared for some children that may come back to talk with you.